Welcome to Bolts and Bats in the Bay. This podcast is brought to you by FL Teams. FLteams.com is a top Florida sports source dedicated to providing in-depth analysis and coverage for all Florida sports, including college and professional sports teams. Remember to go to FLteams.com. Hi, everyone. I'm your host, Jeff Macalino, and I'll give you a quick run through the week that was and the week ahead for your Tampa Bay Lightning and Tampa Bay Rays. As always, we'll start off with the Lightning. A note on both teams, this would have been a much more somber podcast had I recorded it midweek instead of at the end of the week as things got better for both teams. The Lightning came out Tuesday at Columbus and dropped that game 4-2. They fell behind 4-0 in that one. They scored a couple of late goals. Ross Colton, there's his name again. And Luke Shen added his first goal of the season. They dropped that game 4-2 at Columbus. That made 5 out of 7 losses. 5 losses in their last 7 games for the Lightning, which is obviously not what you come to expect. They bounced back Thursday. The offense woke up big time. 6 goals in a 6-4 victory over Columbus. Nice bounce back there. Blake Coleman scored the game's first goal in less than a minute into the game. Steven Stamkos, only a few minutes later, added a power play goal. Barkley Goodrow also scored only 5:41 into the first period. The Lightning were up 3-0 and gave up a couple of late goals there in the third, the last one with only 46 seconds left. Ross Colton, again, added a goal. McDonough had 2 goals in that game. And again, the Lightning won that one 6-4. Saturday's game at Nashville, that game was what you've come to expect and what you want to see from the Lightning. They took that game 3-0. Shut out in net, obviously. Ross Colton, hey, here's his name again. Scored the first goal, his 7th of the season, in the first period. Chernak added a goal in the second, and Yanni Gourde, right at the end, added a third. Vasilevsky, 36 saves in that one. Gave the Predators a decent amount of shots in that game, but he held up. So looking forward for the Lightning this upcoming week. They have the second game at Nashville. That is on Tuesday, the 13th. Then they travel back to Tampa Bay and host the Florida Panthers. Back-to-back games Thursday and Saturday night against the Panthers. The Thursday game is nationally televised, I believe, on NBC. NBC Sports, excuse me. Another big set coming up the following week. They have 2 games at Carolina. Looking at the Central Division standings, I'm just finally now getting used to calling the Lightning's division the Central Division. The Lightning, at this moment, have played 1 more game than the Hurricanes, but they are tied in points at 58. Florida right behind. They've actually played 2 more games than the Hurricanes. They are at 56 points. Obviously, all 3 of those teams very much in contention for the top spot, who will be facing whoever finishes 4th. Right now, Nashville has built a little bit of a cushion. They're 4 points ahead of Chicago. They have played 1 game additional so far. So we'll see how the bottom of that of this division shakes out. One team that seemingly is aware that they're not going to be making the postseason, the Columbus Blue Jackets and the Detroit Red Wings, helped the Lightning out right before the trade deadline. The Lightning added David Savard from Columbus. It was a 3-team deal. Columbus gets the Lightning's first-round pick in 2021, 2022 third-round pick, and Detroit receives the 2021 fourth-round pick. So the Lightning gave up 3 picks to add Savard to their defense. Lightning fans probably somewhat familiar with him. He's played the Lightning 5 times already this season with Columbus. Actually, his only goal of the season came against the Lightning on March 30th. Just another addition. The Lightning not afraid to add at the trade deadline, as they showed last year, adding Coleman and Goodrow, which, you know, paid off big time in the playoffs. So the Lightning looking to add depth and ability on the defensive end. Remember, they still have Nikita Kucherov coming back as well. Steven Stamkos, however, is missing at least two games. He missed Saturday. He's missing Tuesday. The dreaded lower body injury. We don't know if it's going to drag on. John Cooper wasn't sure whether he'd be available to play Thursday. So hopefully Stamkos can heal up quickly and we see him back on the ice. So the Lightning bounced back after things not looking so great early in the week. And switching gears over to the Tampa Bay Rays, they did the same. They started out a three-game set at Boston. Just an ugly game Monday, dropped at 11-2. Tuesday, a very disappointing 12-inning loss. They dropped 6-5 and then got swept in another ugly one Wednesday, 9-2. Things looked somewhat bleak for the Rays right then, coming into their home opener, the series Friday, Saturday, Sunday against the Yankees. They had two relatively, I would say, convincing victories, Friday 10-5, Saturday 4-0, and a disappointing extra innings loss. They were so close to getting out of the top of the 10th, keeping the score tied 4-4, gave up four runs in the top of the 10th with two outs, and they dropped that game 8-4. So the Rays, you know, took the series against New York, which was encouraging. They took the first series of the season against Miami. You know, Joe Maddon used to always say, you know, he wanted the meatloaf series. Two out of three ain't bad. But Boston getting swept by them was a disappointing outcome for obvious reasons. That all being said, we are only nine games into this long, long marathon of a season. The Rays are in a four-way tie for second place with every other team in the AL East behind Boston, who has now won six in a row. They're 6-3. Only two games. Obviously, it's way too early to worry about the standings. With the Rays, I figure I'll give you a few high notes and low notes, since going into every game in depth would take quite a while. I'll start with a low note. I've been very disappointed at the start of this season with the defensive play in the outfield. Kevin Kiermaier is not the problem, but part of the problem is that he is injured. They placed him on the injured list. It's left quad injury. Not sure how long he's going to be out. Obviously, with a guy like that, speed plays a big role in his game. He needs his legs to be healthy or he's completely, you know, going to be ineffective. They had a couple other injuries. Chaz Rowe is on the 60-day injured list. Pete Fairbanks is on the 10-day injury list. And Chris Archer is on the 10-day injury list. So there's another downside. Not good health to start the season. Some key pitching pieces and obviously a huge defensive piece in Kevin Kiermaier out. And really, the Austin Meadows has made some abysmal plays in the outfield so far this season. Looks lost out there, frankly. Arozarena, I thought, honestly, should have caught the ball that the Red Sox won in the 12th inning on that hit. It looked like to me he didn't really give it a... Maybe he didn't read it well or didn't take a great route to it. Who knows? Margot made a pretty bad play as well, which is uncharacteristic of him. Just overall, not thrilled with the outfield defense. The pitching, you know, the Rays have a lot of depth, but, you know, you've got some key arms out. The good news with Chris Archer is that it sounds like it's not supposed to be serious. It was outside pain to the forearm. That gave the Rays room on the roster to call up Brent Honeywell Jr., who made his major league debut, which was much anticipated. He's dealt with so much. He threw two perfect innings with a pair of strikeouts. He opened the Sunday game against the Yankees. So that's a bright spot. Randy Arozarena, he's hitting .314, which leads the team. He also hit home runs in back-to-back games. Good to see his power coming through. So far, so good as far as him at the plate. He has only walked one time in 35 at-bats. We'll see if his plate discipline becomes any sort of issue. But so far, doesn't look like his postseason performance was a fluke by any means. Another bright spot, Austin Meadows. I talked a lot about him, whether he was going to bounce back. He's hit three home runs in 33 at-bats. Good early results from him. And Mike Zunino, his defense has looked... I mean, defense has never been his problem. He's only hitting 200, but he does have two home runs and a double in his only four hits. So he's got a 550 slugging percentage, which is good to see any sort of production. The Rays have had some very poor seasons offensively from their catchers in the past. So anything offensively is a good sign for the Rays from the catcher position. That will wrap things up. Oh, I'm sorry. First, the Rays this week, four games at home versus the Texas Rangers, Monday through Thursday and Friday through Sunday. They are at New York, traveling to play the New York Yankees. So full seven games in 7 days upcoming for the Rays. Their next day off is not until Thursday, April 22nd. So, busy week ahead for both the Rays and the Lightning. That will wrap it up for Bolts and Bats in the Bay. Please feel free to hit me up and follow me on Twitter. I am at SaintJMac, SaintJMac. You can check out my comedy podcast, the Jeff Macalino Podcast, if that interests you. And please follow FL Teams on Twitter, at FL Teams. Subscribe to the FL Teams YouTube and podcasts, and go to flteams.com to stay updated on all your Florida sports news and coverage.